Thanks again for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com. We genuinely appreciate your support. Would you consider subscribing so you won't miss any future episodes? We'd also like to remind you that we do a live stream every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on YouTube at the Alliance Blog. And you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, TikTok, and Twitch at the Alliance Blog. Remember, absorb what is useful, reject what is useless, add what is essentially your own. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. What is up, guys? Hey, welcome to the Alliance Guys Podcast, a presentation of Alliance-Wrestling.com, your number one source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. My name is J-Cal. His name is DKM. And together, we are two of the four Alliance guys. The other one's sick. The other one's been missing in action since 2016. We don't know what happened to him. But nevertheless, we will prevail. Nevertheless, we will talk NWA. Nevertheless, we will enjoy talking to you about the NWA. Mr. DKM, how are you, sir?
Itchy.
They have ointment for that now.
Well, I'm glad.
So, a lot of craziness has been happening with the NWA as of late. I mean, you know, this whole... We're going to get to everything, guys. And we started a little bit early today. Hopefully, y'all catch up. But it's been crazy. I mean, first of all, you had Slammiversary, and you had Thunder Rosa show up in Impact, and she challenges, she opens the open doors, that forbidden door that we always hear so much about, and she challenges none other than Deonna Purrazzo, a name who I keep feeling like is going to be a part of this Empower series, and she was dispatched. She was not able to win that title, if you will. And then the news breaks today that now she's all elite, Thunder Rosa, and it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Thunder Rosa. So not only did she
Happy birthday!
Not only did she make her first appearance for All Elite Wrestling, but then she is now she's now signed with AEW. And then to add things to that, then the NWA announces a new card on August 13th in Gary, Indiana, of all places. Again, this is kind of a shock, kind of a surprise. Things are coming out of nowhere. I didn't even mention Mickie James showing up on Impact Pro Wrestling, the executive producer for Empower. Then we get some names already to go with this Empower pay-per-view. We'll be talking about all of that in just a moment. But it's been kind of a wild time here for the NWA. So, you know, we're going to get to all this as much as we can in the allotted time. We'll be here till just about an hour and a half today. And I hope you guys will enjoy the ride. We've got our good pal, Kevin Frazier, whose voice has failed him. He will be joining us in the live stream. He'll be chatting with you guys and being a part of the show. And of course, we're going to take your comments and your questions. I see Chris Johnson's in the house. We know him as Carnivore in the Discord channel. We got Dave Scooby in the house. I saw Terry McDermott's here. And, of course, our pal Kevin. So, DK, first of all, how are you, my friend?
Can we already go through this? Oh, actually, I'm doing pretty good. All things considered, it was a productive day. Got a lot done. A lot of good work. And as long as we talk about anything other than the show, I think we'll have a good night.
Well, we got to talk about the show. We got to talk about the pairings and the teams and the implications that this will have raining down from the NWA from this point forward. I mean, this is kind of a reset button, if you will, for the NWA. DK. Yo, DK.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is kind of a reset button for storyline-wise for the National Wrestling Alliance, if they choose for it to be, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. They have to choose that.
Well, we're kind of like a rudderless ship right here because there's so many things to talk about. And we want to know what you guys want to talk about. So make sure you jump in here in the chat, leave a comment, tell us what is going on with you, what you're thinking with the NWA, this whole 73rd anniversary, the Empower, Thunder Rosa. We're going to try to get to all of that. But let's kick off with Thunder Rosa because she is the birthday girl. And hey, Wrestling with MMA is now hosting us. Thank you for doing that. Wrestling with MMA, he's hosting us on Twitch. So thanks for doing that. But let's get to it. Let's talk about Thunder Rosa and what it means now that she is signed with AEW. Now, DKM, I'm not sure what you've heard today, but the rumors are that that there was a buyout. And that was very unexpected because previously Thunder Rosa had requested to get out of her contract back in 2020. And the NWA denied that. The NWA said, no, we're going to keep you. They had another option on her contract. They kept her for one more year. And of course, you know, she went through the global pandemic as the women's world champion, ended up dropping that belt to Serena Deeb at our friend's show, Primetime Live with United Wrestling Network. Serena Deeb took that title to new heights in AEW, but you know, Thunder Rosa was always there in the background. I mean, she was competing on Dark, she was competing on Dynamite, she was still wrestling pretty regularly, whether it be Mission Pro or, you know, joining back with the NWA. She challenged Camille for the number one contender spot to have that opportunity to challenge for the Women's World Championship, and she failed. And then she had an opportunity to wrestle for that number one contendership a second time and was unable to defeat Camille. And like we said, she just appeared on Impact last weekend and wrestled their champion. Again, didn't win the title, but certainly had a lot of people talking about her name. We've said it before multiple times, she's the best wrestler on the planet. DK, what do you think about the loss of Thunder Rosa now that she's All Elite, and what do you think that means for the relationship with the NWA going forward in the future?
I'm happy for Thunder Rosa because I think, you know, she's on to bigger and better things. I'm not an All Elite wrestling fan. I don't particularly like most of the product. But, you know, when she wrestles there, she's as good as she ever is. Don't know how much we want to get into some of this. We don't know a lot, but we do know something. We do know that there's been issues between the Thunder Rosa camp and the NWA camp for a while. We know, like, she had been working with SWE, and then that got put to an end, and SWE was very clear that it was the NWA that ended that relationship. And since that time, they've brought in Elise, and she's won their titles, so I don't see Rosa being back that direction anytime ever.
No.
And, I don't know, she hasn't had a good year, which is kind of sad, because she is, as you said, the best wrestler in the business right now. Not best female wrestler, the best wrestler in the business right now. And her matches with Serena Deeb were excellent. Her match with Camille was very good. But, you know, the NWA didn't seem to want to push her anymore, even though they had her for a year. I would have stuck the title back on her and, you know, ridden that cash cow for as long as it would have taken me.
I feel exactly the same way.
As far as it would have taken me. And so, you know, she's been used well in AEW. Hopefully, maybe this frees her up. She's feuded with Britt Baker in the past. Baker's currently the champion. Maybe we can get some good title matches out of that. Not that I have a lot of faith in AEW to book the feud right, but I think that, you know, you put those two in the ring together, they're professional enough to put on excellent matches. So I'm hoping this is, you know, the start of something really great for her, and kind of shame on the NWA for not taking advantage of what they had.
Now, I'll say this. I think this was a bad time for the NWA to let her out of this agreement. I think they could have kept her through Empower, and I think that would have benefited them because, of course, there's a couple of reasons why, right? You're crowning a new set of tag team champions. Now, the NWA has already established this this on-again, off-again relationship between Melina and Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa had a regular tag team partner in Holly Dead. I think some of you guys might remember them as the Twisted Sisters, and they won the NWA Western States Heritage Tag Team titles, a male tag team titles, but they won those titles and actually defended those titles in Japan at a couple of the Joshi promotions out there in Japan. And so, like, if you were going to crown a set of tag team champions, Thunder Rosa and Holly Dead, the Twisted Sisters, would certainly be a good pair for that. But for whatever reason, they just opted not to do that. And I think, again, you said the cash cow. There was the opportunity to put Thunder Rosa in a match with Camille and maybe have that title change hands. They could have ridden that out to the end of the year. They could have had her at the pay-per-view and have a big moment for Empower when, you know, somebody uprooted Thunder Rosa for the title. I mean, there's so many different ways they could have gone about it. And I do kind of feel like they gave up and just threw their hands up in the air. Now, obviously, I want what's best for Thunder Rosa. I want for her to be able to provide for her family. I want for her to wrestle the best opponents. And I want for her to live an abundant lifestyle, like our friend Danny Limelight says. But at the end of the day, like, you're right. I really felt like the NWA could have done more to cash in, if you will, on Thunder Rosa.
Well, anyway, I don't know how much of that was based on a poor relationship between the parties involved and how much they thought it was just business. But it's a crying shame that they did not take advantage. I mean, you know, imagine if, you know, Camille had won the first matchup and something had happened where she didn't win the title against Serena Deeb. Doesn't mean she had to lose, just means she didn't have to win the title. And then Thunder Rosa comes in and wins the title. Well, that could have been months of, you know, can Camille do it his, you know, second time? Can she beat her? And, you know, she was looking down on her, but now, you know, Rosa has the upper hand. There was a great storyline that could have gone there. But the one thing that wrestling does not have in both its promoters, writers, bookers, and anything else is patience. Fans of some of these promotions are the same way. There's no patience. There's no wanting to, you know, build the story. Everybody says they want a story and they want a good story, but most of them just want, hey, I want my person to win. And I want them to do it now, and I want them to do it whether it makes sense or not.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well, and again, of course, we should again celebrate what Thunder Rosa was able to do for the NWA. I mean, the minute she walked into those Georgia Public Broadcasting studios, I mean, she really did kind of just grab that audience by the throat and dragged them on this adventure. You know, we had Allison Kay, who was a perfectly legitimate champion in her own right. But the minute Thunder Rosa walked into that NWA Power television taping back in 2019, she robbed the audience of their eyeballs. She literally forced everyone to pay attention, to notice her. And she has kept doing that ever since. And that's one thing you certainly got to tip your hat to her intensity in the ring, her abilities in the ring. She's just attracts eyeballs in all the best ways possible. So again, we want to tip our hat to Thunder Rosa. We don't know. I mean, she could be back for the Empower series. She could be back at the next the NWA 73rd pay-per-view. However, I think because of the timing, because they made a point to say that she's all elite right now, I really feel like that's going to be it for her.
But yeah, it really depends on if anything was negotiated, Rod.
Yeah.
I mean, they may have negotiated some dates for her, or they may have been a complete separation.
Yeah.
I know what she probably wanted, but...
and, you know, Brian had been in here before, Brian Cervantes, her husband, and he's kind of, you know, mentioned, like, hey, you know, she would like to move on to that next thing. So, you know, I'm happy for her, as well as the NWA fans should be. You know, it's a shame that we won't get to see her going forward in the NWA, but of course, All Elite Wrestling is on TNT, soon to be TBS, and they have YouTube channels. If you guys want to follow her career going forward, you can certainly check that out. The other side of this, though, is Mission Pro and how this will be impacted, no pun intended, with the women's pay-per-view. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We know that Sky Blue and Genocide are both basically products of their relationship with Mission Pro and the NWA, and I do feel like Mission Pro was responsible for helping bring in talents like Kenzie Page and Lady Frost. DK, do you think there's going to be an issue going forward with the National Wrestling Alliance and Mission Pro, or do you think at this point, now that they have that wide fishing net with Empower, that it's pretty much the world is their oyster?
I don't know. I tend to think... the girls in Mission Pro, I don't think that they're necessarily bound by a contract that only lets Mission Pro book them out. So I would assume to some extent they're free to make their own deals and stuff like that. One of the points of Mission Pro is to get these ladies exposure, get them over and stuff like that. So unless the NWA would just choose not to use them, which would be idiots to decide something like that. Or sometimes I wonder. But I would see no reason for those relationships to end per se. The only thing that the NWA might be lacking is some full-time veteran females. Melina, as we all know, has knee issues and supposedly was going to go back to WWE but couldn't because she couldn't work in the ring. Taryn Terrell also has some injury issues that, you know, we haven't seen her wrestle a full match, and she's not part of this a championship series other than as a, you know, team captain, a legend. I don't know if she is one, but, you know, still. And
I don't know. She looked pretty legendary to me.
Well, you're married. And
I am married happily.
And it would be nice if they could get, you know, some females in line of Serena Deeb, you know, or I know Jazz was supposed to be there at the last set of tapings. I don't know if she's still a part of them or not. They need some veterans to work with these young girls and kind of teach them the ropes and get in the ring with them. Because, you know, like everything, you learn in the ring, and you learn by working with those better, smarter, and more experienced than you.
Now, as far as the Empower pay-per-view goes, we did get a couple more, well, one more name this week. I just by chance was happening to listening to an interview with Mickey James Aldis, where she mentioned that another former WWE Women's World Champion would not be participating in Empower. And I think it's really interesting how this continues to fold out, because so far we have two names that have been advertised for the pay-per-view, Empower, and they're two names that on a large, like, national standpoint, I don't think anybody knows them. And I think this is actually kind of a good move. We talked about this last week, DK, you and I, and we mentioned that by putting out a name that was lesser known, you can still keep building up to bigger names. And you had made the point where, like, they should have had a bigger announcement with a big name, and that would have maybe drawn some more.
I pointed out others have said that.
Wait, say that again?
I pointed out that others have said that.
Okay, excuse me. That others had said that. And I think our agreement at the end of that was that you can continue to build up with names, and depending on who comes next, that's what we would do. And so, looking at the roster, looking at the two names that we know, because, of course, there are women on the NWA roster currently. We know Lady Frost is still working with the NWA, and she, even though it's had a few appearances in Impact now, her door is open, and she, as she reported on Twitter, that she's able to work both promotions currently. Now, that could change, but as of right now, that's what it is. We know Sky Blue is a part of the NWA. She is in the championship tournament. We've got Genocide as well in that tournament, or the championship series, excuse me. And now I don't see my notes with me, but there are a couple of women who are set up. Kenzie Page also being one of them. So they do have a couple of women who are currently on the roster. And the two invitees now that will be a part of the pay-per-view, Empower, as part of the Invitational Cup, is the Tootie Lynn Ramsey, easy for me to say, or commonly known as the Blue Dragon, who is a native of the St. Louis area. She's trained out there. She's wrestled for CCW. She's a current, or she had in the past have been a CCW Women's Champion, and she was trained by I had that here in front of me here. She was trained by Michael Elgin, which, I mean, that would maybe be problematic, but not now. She's, you know, she's completely trained. And Sadie Blaze, she's been wrestling since 2017, 3 years in the business, you know, almost four. And, you know, kind of interesting. Not someone I would have expected to be the first choice, but again, somebody who's adding a little bit of more value to the table, bringing something to the table. And then we also have Jamie Senegal. Jamie Senegal has really wrestled all over. I mean, she's been, has influences with from Lufisto. They call her the Punk Rock Queen. She's wrestled again. Game Changer Wrestling. She's been in quite a few death matches, the XWW Extreme, and she's been a lot in a lot of places. She's worked at bar wrestling locally, and this is a shimmer rise, and this opportunity might be that breaking point for her to become a lot more well known on a national level. DK, are you familiar with either of these ladies, and what do you think?
I'm not familiar with either of the ladies they announced. The first one I'll give them is she's a local St. Louis person, so, you know, that would be a draw to, you know, local fans. They're going to sell tickets. Don't know her, never seen her, haven't looked her up yet on YouTube. Don't know, haven't looked up on YouTube the second lady that has been announced. Nor the drag queen that's been announced.
Well, she's the manager, or the
yeah, but I mean, I don't know her either. And so, this is kind of the issue, I think, that, you know, like some of the people are talking about. A lot of people are excited, but I haven't reached the excitement level yet, because I don't know what they're doing. I haven't even heard yet, because Mickie James talked about going out and looking for tag teams. So are the tag team titles supposed to be determined or started or taking part at the show? Or are they going to be part of the next set of tapings of Power? I mean, I'm a little uncertain what they're planning. They had said the Camille will defend her title.
We know that. No. The Women's World Champion will defend the title.
Yeah, the Women's World Champion. Camille will defend her title on 24th. The winner from 24th will defend the title at Empower. And the winner from Empower will defend the title at the 73. which Dollars to Donuts, Camille will be the person defending the title at all the events. And so, because I really don't see Kenzie, whatever.
Kenzie Page?
Yeah, sure. taking the title. And, you know, I mock not knowing her name, even though I actually did. I wasn't 100% sure. But again, these are the type of things that do matter. You know, if you're going to draw a more casual fan, you know, you've got to give them something to look forward to. I don't have anything against women's wrestling. I mean, I'm one of the people that have thought that, think Thunder Rosa is the best wrestler in the world, thinks that Charlotte and Rhea Ripley put in some of the best matches on WWE in the last couple of years. I mean, but any show you have to get me excited about. I mean, I could go see wrestling almost every week if I wanted to. There's enough local independents that are within 2 hours of me. But none of them really do anything that makes me go, oh, I really want to go see that. I really want to go see them. You know, that economics, we learned the term opportunity cost. You know right. What opportunity cost is, Jay?
I sure do. What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost for you to go to that wrestling show? Is it worth what you're going to pay for what you're going to get? So, like, if you're only halfway interested in the wrestling show, is it really worth your $10 ticket or your $15 ticket? And maybe you would buy it at a $5 ticket, but maybe you'd be more inclined to buy it, you know, if it was $5 as opposed to $10.
And it's even more than money, because what it is that I can't do two things at once. You know, you can't ride two horses with one ass.
Love it.
And so, if I'm buying the pay-per-view, I'm committing 2 hours out of my life to sit and watch it. Well, in those 2 hours, I can't go to a movie.
Right.
In those 2 hours, I can't watch something else on TV. I am losing other opportunities. If I'm spending, $40 for the package for the two pay-per-views. So if I spend $40 on that, you know, I can't take my wife and I out to a casual dining restaurant to eat. You know, it costs more than money. It costs opportunity.
Right.
And so what are they giving me right now that makes me say, and for the record, I've already acknowledged this. I've already bought the pay-per-view. So, but what are they, you know, what are they giving the casual fan that says, I want to depart from $25 or $40, whether I want to get one or both pay-per-views, I want to give up somewhere between 2 to 4 hours of my life, and I want to watch this. What are you giving me to do that? And while it's fine to announce some of these people, you don't necessarily have to announce your biggest burst, but I don't think it matters if you announce your biggest burst. I mean, when UFC announces a card, they announce the main event 9 times out of 10. In boxing, you know what they announce? They announce Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua, or Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder. You know what they don't do? They don't tell you what the undercard is. Unless there's like another important championship fight, unless you're just a really dedicated fan, you do not know and you do not care what the undercard is. Unless you just happen to have somebody who you're following because you're a fan of theirs. But they will never announce a full card for Wilder Fury 3. for the heavyweight boxing title, to the point where anybody's going to go through and look at it and be excited about the undercard. And that's something that's missing from wrestling in general today. I find it crazy when they go, well, what's going to main event WrestleMania this year? Is it going to, or night one or night two, or, you know, is it going to be the girls? Is it going to be whatever? What the main event is what's ever drawing most of the fans to the card. It don't matter what order you put them in.
Yeah, that's true.
You put the main event on last because that gives your fans a chance to come in during the undercard. You ever watch a boxing match or UFC big card for the very first match that takes place? There's 20 people in the arena. There's the other trainers, the other partners, and, you know, the mom, dad, and brother of, and sister of the two fighters.
Yeah.
And that's who's there. And they get up and leave when their guys win or when their guys are done. And you know this because they're sitting in the front section, and trust me, when the main event's on, they ain't in the front section. And so, you know, wrestling right now, from AEW through WWE, NWA, Impact, to Bob's Wrestling promotion down the street, they miss the main events that make you go, oh man, I gotta see that, and I don't give a blankety blank blank what else is on the card. And so that's what I want to know. You can do this slow burn or whatever. I want to know what the main event is. I want to know is Camille facing, or Mackenzie Page facing Genocide, or are they facing a returning Allison Kay? I want to know that.
Yeah.
Because trust me, I'm going to be far more excited over Allison Kay than I am over
Genocide.
Over Genocide, and I like Genocide.
Yeah. And so, as we get to that, I do want to touch on some of the comments in the chat, because I think there's some interesting things being said. And of course, one of the best parts of the show is you are a part of the show. Your comments will make it on the air. We will talk about that, because you know, this is a community here, and we're building up this fan base for the NWA, and so we do care what you guys have to say. But I'm going to go with my man Kevin Frazier, who first and foremost said AEW is really doing a great job as well. I look forward to seeing how she does there full time. And that's in regards to Thunder Rosa. I mean, there's rumors going around right now as we speak that AEW is trying to get Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whoever, you know, whichever side of the fence you're looking at, and CM Punk, and these names are, you know, all but signed. I mean, AEW really has a lot of financial flexibility. They have a lot of opportunity to sign some guys who could be huge players in the wrestling industry if allowed to be. So it's fitting that Thunder Rosa will be there to be celebrated as one of the best wrestlers in the world with AEW, and you know, potentially Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, and CM Punk. Valerie Z popped in to say hi, but she's gone, I think. Willie Bowen asked about Madison Eagles or April Hunter on the NWA Power roster. As far as I know, Madison Eagles is still in Australia. I could be mistaken, but I think due to COVID-19 restrictions, there hasn't been a lot of travel in and out of Australia and the United States. As far as April Hunter, I'm not sure if she's even actively still wrestling at this point. Someone could look that up for me and let me know. James H. Jackson Jr., who's going to be referred to as James from now on, says it's tough if you don't lock people into contracts. They could be gone at any time. Now, speaking of people locked into contracts, so we kind of openly mocked this last week with Slice Boogie showing up in MLW, Major League Wrestling, as part of the new LAX under the tutelage of Conan, teaming with our friend Danny Limelight. But it's been reported that Slice Boogie will also be able to continue competing for the National Wrestling Alliance and still competing for the United Wrestling Network. So it seems like Slice Boogie has a lot of opportunity in front of him. I just wanted to point that out because even though that there are different contracts that are being offered out there, there's still opportunity for people like MJF or Flying Brian Pillman Jr. who are able to work for MLW and AEW until obviously their contracts changed. And you know, this flexibility that MLW is offering by securing Slice Boogie but allowing him to work in other wrestling promotions, I think it does say something to the sport that's kind of evolving, where, you know, there is a company that is exclusive, and if you work for the WWE, you're exclusive to the WWE. But it feels like now, when you have the IWGP, was it North American Championship? What did Moxley, United States, that title match was defended in AEW. There was a title match recently of that same title in New Japan of America, and it's a product of New Japan Pro Wrestling. But
and the title changed hands last night.
Yeah, to a friend of our show, Lance. I almost said Lance Cave, Lance Archer, the Murder Hawk, and it's just an exciting time to be a wrestling fan with all these opportunities for talents. You know, above and beyond, we want to see them be successful. We want to see them make money. We want to see them, you know, to quote my friend Danny Limelight, live an abundant lifestyle. And you know, hopefully these things will happen. Dave Scooby says, imagine Thunder Rosa winning against Serena Deeb, then building up to Empower, going against Camille, then having Camille defend at the 73rd as well as the instant buildup. I mean, I see that too. Like, that would have been a great opportunity. I think that goes back to when we were talking about how they could have used Thunder Rosa to help build up this pay-per-view, not only Empower, but also the 73rd. Kikuchi mentions that the NWA Team Challenge Series, I think he's referring to the Champion Series that the NWA is putting out. We'll get to that momentarily. And then that's about the comments right now. So, sorry, I got a little distracted there. Sure? Yeah, you're fine. Sorry. So then that leads us to the Champion Series, right? You want to talk about the Champion Series, or do we still want to talk about Empower and the 73rd?
Well, I suppose we want to talk about Champion Series.
Well, the one last note on Empower, the women-driven pay-per-view. What's that?
Nothing. I got distracted by a green curtain.
Oh. Oh. You might have been on the other camera. Sorry.
It's only me.
Anyways, going back to the Empower pay-per-view, I'm sorry. There goes the whole set.
the YouTube can't see it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So going to the Empower pay-per-view, you know, we talked about two of the names that were going to be a part of it. There was a third name that was invited to be a part of the show, but was not able to take place, and that would be Victoria. We heard that Mickey James Aldis said on the Busted Open radio podcast, radio show on XM Sirius, that Victoria would not be available to be a part of it. She initially was going to be, but it just conflicted with her schedule. So
the biggest name they talked about so far is can't make it.
Yeah, that's the first name we've heard that can't make it. The second part is I'm a little distracted. So getting to the Champion Series, that was what was the highlight of Power this week, and they built up the next couple of weeks of programming. They spent the entire show building up to what essentially looks like is going to be a kind of like a reboot, if you will. They partnered captains with, you know, legends and champions, and the legends, you know, I would clearly define Austin Idol as a wrestling legend. He's been around in the business. He had many contributions to it. I can almost see the point where you'd call Molina a legend. A little bit, I think we're being a little bit generous with the term legend. We're using that a little bit loose to describe Velvet Sky or Taryn Terrell. I mean, I know they had some success in Impact Wrestling, but their peak of their impact, no pun intended, really didn't spill outside of those promotions, outside of Impact Wrestling. So to me, it's kind of like, that's not really, those aren't what I would determine as legends. I'm sure that's nitpicking. I'm sure most of you didn't even mind that, but to me, it just seemed a little off calling them legends. I did think it was kind of unique how they just all happened to line up where every female counterpart had a male counterpart. So Camille was partnered with Austin Idol to give you a female-male dynamic. Nick Aldis was partnered up with Melina. The Pope was partnered up with Velvet Sky, and Aaron and Taryn Terrell were partnered up. It all just seemed to kind of work like that. What did you think of the initial pairings, DK?
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, you'll have one team that hates each other, one team that loves each other, and two teams that fall on each side of center where it comes loving and hating each other. It's kind of predictable. I do want to take a point to what you're saying, though, when talking about legends. People, we got to remember words have meanings. And that's why, you know, a lot of people will be, I don't sit there and call a lot of things great, because not everything can be great. That goes against what great is. You know,
right.
Great is exceptional. It's rare. It's, you know, it's not a common thing. I think it was Al Franken or Stuart Smalley or whatever on
Stuart Smalley.
Stuart Smalley on what was that show? Saturday Night Live. And he said one time, he goes, I've had a good day. He goes, it wasn't a great day, but that's okay. Because only mediocre people have great days every day. And I kind of get that. In other words, if you're defining your day as great in every day, then you're probably kind of just a mediocre person. You know, you're probably just not realizing that there's something better out there. And so, you know, I do kind of have issues with that. As you pointed out, the fact that they're all male, female. I like how they did the champions, and when it came to the tag team champions, they have one person, and the other champion was in the thing in the draft selections and everything. I don't know. Let me blow through this show from my perspective real quick here. It was silly. I didn't enjoy it. I wasn't intrigued by it. I didn't say, ooh, I didn't expect that, whether I did or didn't, because there was nothing about it that made me care. I kind of saw where this was going. I was incredibly bummed that there was absolutely no wrestling on the show. And I mean, they could have at least put on, you know, a couple of matches to get people, you know, low card guys and handsome guys to fill in, you know, the bottom layer. No, they wouldn't do that either. I had no interest. Hopefully the series will be good, although quite frankly, I can't say I'm excited about it. I've already like predicted out everything, so we'll see how close I get. And it's just, you know, we talked about opportunity cost. That is, you know, 5 billion years of my life that I'll never get back.
See, and this is where this show is funny, because we both see this very differently. And I too.
Yes, but I'm right.
What's that?
I said yes, but I'm right.
Eh. So what I agree with you that there should have been some wrestling, and there's ways around it. I mean, the alternates were just randomly selected, but why not have like a quick little battle royal with, you know, the remaining members of the roster, and whoever was standing at the end of it would be your alternates. Now I know that would be a little bit demeaning for guys like PJ Hawk and Luke Hawk and La Rebellion and Paro and Odinson, but it would have at least kind of built that feel to like, okay, well, you know, these guys had to outlast it, and you put them on the show so we'd actually get a little bit of wrestling, because as much as this was entertaining to me, I still feel like if the marquee says pro wrestling, that's what we should be getting, not just the sports entertainment. But I, with that being said, I felt like the partnerships worked, right? You get Melina, who's just miserable to be sitting there next to Nick Aldis. I feel you, Melina. That's exactly how I'd feel. Then you've got Taryn and Aaron. The partnership is very bubbly, very funny. A lot of good chemistry already. You got Pope and Velvet, who seems to be a lot of respect between the two. And hell, you even had Austin Idol come out and just give the best promo he's capable of doing, putting someone else other than himself for Camille. And I felt like that partnership worked, and for him to be angry and frustrated with not picking Tyrus number one overall, I think that was good and made for something interesting, because you could see he was conflicted. Camille's right. Tom Latimer is the guy. He's the most underutilized dude on the roster, maybe next to Jack Stane. And seriously, he should have gone first in the draft. So that made sense, and it was interesting. And then as it built up, you know, when Velvet Sky and Pope picked Genocide, right? Game changer, because they picked the best woman available. And somehow, some way, they still ended up with Trevor Murdoch. So when you look at the way that it was all broken down, it really felt like they were trying to do some strategizing. And to me, like, it got interesting. As someone who plays fantasy baseball and you do the fantasy draft and you pick your team, you look for these things. And that's what it kind of felt like to me, except for it was a lot more entertaining. And especially, like, the, you know, we haven't seen Aldis on TV for weeks. And so for him and Melina to be just butting heads worked for me. So I thought that was all pretty good.
Well, I will say that Aldis is much better when he's not overexposed.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm still a big Aldis fan, even though, you know, I understand that he can be an ass or whatever. But, you know, just as far as his promo and wrestling and stuff like that, I am a fan, but when he's overexposed, look, it's just like everything. Nothing special if it's all the time. I mean, and so that was just one of those, we kind of need the break from him. He can't always be there. And when he's not, it's more special. Mm-hmm. And he's better. And he's the one that deserves to be in the bad relationship, because he's the annoying, obnoxious heel. So you want him to be in the bad, you know, bad relationship. I will say that Aaron Stevens and Taryn Terrell as a comedy duo are interesting. I won't say I don't necessarily like it, but they're interesting.
Okay.
Just don't like Austin Idol. So I have a hard time with that one. And, you know, Pope and Pope and Scott. I actually like the team that they put together the best. But I still didn't like the show.
I was going to do a poll question, but it's a little bit more complicated when there's multiple choice. But everybody in the chat, who was your favorite team or pairing just your captains. Who's the favorite captain pairings for you? I honestly believe that they did a good job on that. I really felt like they made a good connection. And so over the next few weeks of television leading up to the chase, I really feel like that dynamic that you're going to see Nick at odds with Melina or vice versa, that Pope and Velvet Sky being on the same page, or Austin Idol, you know, heaping praise on Camille, or even the comedy act of Taryn and Aaron. I think it's going to play a role in how these matches roll out and how it's all gonna kind of work together. So if you guys have your team choice, which pairing did you like the best, go ahead and list it here in the comments section. I am gonna jump on some of your comments because I do feel like, we wanna include you guys in part of the show. Fortification Intensifies says that the NWA legend equals a retired or less active wrestler. And it's funny to me because Tim Storm is sitting right over there at the announce booth, who's a former World's Heavyweight Champion, but wasn't really considered a legend. Just food for thought. Terry McDermott says, and Jack Stane is a legend. I mean, Jack Stane has held every single NWA title there is for him to hold. He certainly, well, I guess with the exception of the television title at this point, but certainly should, to me, have been given a little bit more respect when it came to the selection process. James says, who needs wrestling when we got that, DKM? Dave Scooby says, go ahead, DK.
No, I said me. I still need wrestling.
Dave Scooby says, at least we know that they have 8 matches set up for the next few weeks and hope they don't do a bait and switch. And I don't feel like they need to. Like, it's all set. You know, we're building up towards the pay-per-view, and there's not really a need to do any bait and switches because you have these matches again laid out. And I've heard that there are a few other non-tournament matches or series matches, but I still feel like they did a good job of setting up a card that, you know, even if it wasn't connected to a pay-per-view that's coming up, you kind of established some storyline that doesn't have to be overly convoluted because it's all part of the series. They built themselves a dynamic that if they just adhere to their own rules, you don't need over-the-top silly booking. You just got it. You just got wrestling.
I'm sorry. I thought you said something like if they just stuck to their rules.
Look, it all remains to be seen, right?
Have you really explained the rules of this series yet?
No, they really haven't gotten into the rules because they said like a victory is a point, a disqualification is a point. So we don't really know exactly how these break down. We do know that to the victor goes the spoils, and that the winning champion can either challenge for another title or defer anybody on his list from challenging for his title. So for Camille, this would actually be, you know, it would keep anybody from challenging her on that list going forward. It would and this was also kind of confusing about how they selected their opponents, because if you were Aldis, a smarter game for Aldis would have been to pick Trevor Murdoch on his list and therefore would not have to face Trevor Murdoch at a later date.
Doesn't that kind of, because, you know, there's 4 guys on the list and only 1 female. So, I mean, is Camille going to challenge for another title, or is she just going to be content not to have to wrestle Kenzie Page, because she could probably beat, you know, 7 times a week, or, you know, twice a day, every day, 5 times on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, look, sure, there are some loopholes in there and some not sound booking logic, but I mean, we can't expect perfection. They've never given us a reason to expect perfection in the past. We can't hope for that now.
I don't want perfection. I do want things to make sense.
Sure. And again, nothing's changed, right? We all still want it to make sense, but I imagine within this realm, I figure that they can play by the rules that they're setting up. I don't know. I'm excited for it. I'm going to go back to some more of the comments. Terry McDermott says he's hoping it will lead to some good matches and feuds. He said, but the selection show could have been on YouTube for free. Kevin said he liked the our pal, former World Junior Heavyweight Champion Kev, said that he liked the episode a lot, even with no wrestling. And then DKM, you pointed out that he's sick. Chris Drummond, Big Chris Dog, says that the NWA doesn't need wrestling. Its disciples will support regardless because they hate WWE and AEW. I mean, there might be some truth to that. I mean,
hold on. I hate WWE and I hate AEW. and at this point, moment, I'm not seeing a hell of a lot of difference between them and NWA.
That's a good point. James points out that there are some good matches coming. Terry McDermott says, who in their right mind would pick Tyrus? Well, Aaron and Taryn might not be of sound judgment, but they did pick Tyrus. Kevin Frazier said Latimer would have absolutely been his number one pick. That's not a surprise. Willie points out that Tyrus is in fact a bum. Fortification Intensifies and says nothing ever happens with Aldis. James says they wish they could have strategized on YouTube for that 35 minutes before Power and then stay tuned or say tune in to see how the matches turn out and started with the matches right on Power. That might have been a better play too. Also, this could have maybe have been a Power Surge episode. And that would have been a little bit more acceptable, too, because we don't expect a lot of wrestling on Power Surge. But then again, last week on Power Surge, we got a lot of wrestling. So maybe they felt like it counteracted or it was a fair game.
I don't think they think that much. I mean, really, the best idea that's been thrown out there was that if they had put this in a 30-minute YouTube thing and picked through the... you know, through Mystery Man, and then done like a 4-card power to select the alternates. And, you know, and the alternates didn't all have to be necessarily who they've been using more enhancement wise than Clear. I mean, hey, you know, Imagine Latimer being under Aldis, where Aldis could block future matches with him if he wins the series. You know, the NWA has so much potential, and there's so many stories that they really could have built nicely out of this. And, you know, hopefully they still will a few, but it's just... I don't know. I wish I was going to New Mexico, let me tell you.
Yeah. that's where I'm going to go in just about 20 more minutes or so. So your guys' comments are great, and I'm going to try to get to more of them here. James says that we already said that. Chris Drummond says, was there an explanation why Adonis, Kylie, and Thunder weren't picked? No, there was no explanation. They weren't even there as part of the selection committee. They weren't in that group of wrestlers. So, I mean, the short answer is they probably never had any intention of using them in this role. Again, we also mentioned Odinson and Paro, The End. We also mentioned BCS 666 and Mecha Wolf and Hakari. A lot of these guys weren't there. Hey, thanks, Lamb. Lamb is now hosting us on Twitch as well. Thanks for that, Lamb. So, no, they didn't really give an explanation as to why those folks weren't included. You know, depending on how long this Thunder Rosa buyout had been in talks, I mean, this... if it was going back to when their shadows fall, I mean, there's a perfectly legitimate reason why she wouldn't be included, because they knew she wouldn't be on the show. I mean, that's just speculation on my part. Terry McDermott says he agrees with you, DK, on all three promotions at the moment. I believe he means not happy with WWE, AEW, or the NWA. And then Fortification Intensifies says, I think the Mystery Man's gimmick is that he's supposed to be generic wrestler. I really don't know what to think about this Masked Mystery Man. I know that he's been playing around with the boys over at This Is Pro Wrestling Podcast as they do the post show for the NWA, and he's been on there a couple of times, has hacked onto the show. You know, I think there's a lot of potential with that guy. I just don't know what they're going to do with it. And, you know, if someone did know, I'm sure that they could figure it out. But, again, he's part of this. He's part of the championship series. I mean, real quick, we didn't really get over who picked who, but we'll just run down the teams real quick. We have Camille and Austin Idol. Their team consists of Tom Latimer, Kenzie Page, J.R. Kratos, one half of the NWA World Tag Team Champions, Mims, and Sal Renaro. Now, Sal Renaro was the only, that was an alternate. They didn't pick that name. Aaron Stevens and Taryn Terrell have Tyrus, Lady Frost, Jay the God, Marche Rocket, and Jordan Clearwater. Again, Clearwater being the alternate. Nick Aldis and Melina have Crimson, Sky Blue, Fred Rosser, Slice Boogie, and Jeremiah Plunkett as their alternate. And then Pope and Velvet Sky have Trevor Murdoch, Genocide, Jack Stain, The Mystery Man, or Masked Man, depending on which announcer speaking, and Colby Carino. And then the matches that we have set for the Block A, putting Camille's team, Camille and Austin Idol's team against Aaron Stevens and Taryn Terrell's team, would be Tom Latimer taking on Marche Rocket. Now, again, matches were set up. You know, they kind of put people in positions to set up matches. And, you know, as a former amateur wrestler myself and wrestling in high school, and not being a particularly good wrestler, my coach used to do this quite often. He would actually see the best chance for winning and a chance of the best chance for losing, and would often slot me into those matches where if I won, awesome, great, terrific. If I lost, well, that's okay, because we're going to win here and we're going to win here. And so that's a kind of a sound strategy when you're trying to maximize your team. So, you know, they could have positioned Tom Latimer against Tyrus, you know, Camille and Austin Idol's team versus Aaron Stevens and Taryn Terrell's team, but they went with Marche Rocket, which, you know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but we know that Tom Latimer has a greater win-loss record than say, Marche Rocket. So a victory for Tom Latimer seems more likely. But then they put Tyrus at position four, where now he's wrestling against Kratos. Now, Kratos, solid athlete, tag team champion. But remember, he has a loss to Tyrus at the Back for the Attack. Remember, he lost to Tyrus at that pay-per-view. So it kind of sets up Tyrus and it has the ability to kind of add more to the team and the role that he is in. So I you know, the way they kind of position these things, you know, Aaron Stevens and Taryn Terrell have Jay the God, JTG, in position number two. So he'll be facing Mims. Of course, the women's match is what it is. But then Kratos versus Tyrus, you know, a better matchup for JTG might have been Kratos. That might have been a more highly contested match. But now Kratos versus Tyrus, Tyrus has a lot of size and weight on Kratos. So there had to be some thought process to it and some strategizing. And then, of course, Block B, and I'm sorry I'm kind of going on and on about this, but I did want to get to it. You know, the wrestlers are also weighted by position. So the person in position one has is supposed to be weighted greater, which I guess maybe there's more points involved for each position that wins. So putting Genocide in position one, there's no guarantee she's going to defeat Sky Blue, but she has a victory over Sky Blue on previous episodes. So that slots her a lot higher, you know, if that's a guaranteed victory for Pope and Sky, which, you know, it's not. But, you know, strategy-wise, it might make more sense. And then they have Trevor Murdoch on their position number two against Fred Rosser. Again, Fred Rosser's a great athlete, but Trevor Murdoch has been more accomplished in the NWA than Fred Rosser. And then Crimson and the Mystery Man, that one's kind of like a... It could really go either way. With Crimson, you know, he's an established tag team wrestler, but he hasn't done a whole lot on his own in the singles matches. And then position four, you've got Slice Boogie and Jack Stain, which is a rematch from a couple weeks ago of NWA Power. So they had to get creative, and I feel like they made some pretty interesting matches and some things that I'm excited to see. So DK, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at your glowing smile here, and what did you think about these matchups?
All right, real quick. The trick is to try and figure out where the upset's going to be. I mean, and you know, I do this on UFC cards too. I look and go, well, okay, where's the upset going to be? And so, like, you look at, you know, the first set of matchups. You know, you got Latimer over Rocket. You got JTG over Mims. Ladies match is a toss-up. Tyrus over Kratos, most likely. So, where's the upset? And so if there's going to be upset in that one, it would probably be Kratos over Tyrus.
Okay.
That's just my guess. You know. When you look at the second series, you got Blue Sky over Genocide. You'd probably pick Blue Sky versus Genocide. You'd probably pick Genocide. You'd probably pick Trevor Murdoch. Mr. Mystery. And Crimson is probably a toss-up. Jack Stain and Slice Boogie, I don't know if it would be an upset if Dane won or Boogie won, because the way they booked Dane.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the sad thing there. And you were talking about Mystery Man earlier, or Mask Guy, or whatever they call him. We were talking about it in the Discord. I was talking a little bit with Gary Horn. And we're talking, I feel bad the way they kind of brought him in, because they didn't bring him in just as a mask guy. They kind of brought him in like he's supposed to be somebody who was hired by
William Patrick Corgan.
Right, and he's kind of got that Lance Storm way of talking. If I can be serious, the question is, can you not be serious?
Yeah.
But anyway, that being neither there nor here, you know, if they had brought him in just as a traditional mask guy, called him Mr. Mystery, you know, stuff like that, I think people would actually be far more into it. Because right now, what happened at the beginning is there were all these expectations of, oh, this is somebody under a mask. Well, yes, it's somebody in a mask, but it's not anybody you know, the average wrestling fan. And so, and I'm an average wrestling fan, and when I found out who it was, my exact words were, who?
Yeah.
Is that name supposed to mean something to me? And I was told, well, maybe. Okay, so that's enough of that. So, I mean, just look at him. I mean, I don't think there's bad matchups if they do it right. If it's not a bait and switch, you know, if there's not some kind of stupid interference and, you know, screw jobs and stuff like that, they just let these people wrestle. So, I don't know. Is there a matchup in this thing that you really want to see, Jay? Is there somebody that's when looking through, and obviously they can kind of switch where they are. So, well, is there anything you really want to see?
I mean, I am interested by Crimson versus the Mystery Man, because so far the Mystery Man hasn't really faced very stiff competition. I think he had a match with Marche Rocket, which in and of itself was fine, but you know, having that opportunity to see him in the ring against somebody who we would consider upper echelon, like a Crimson, to me, I think that's going to be really good. I think the matchup between Fred Rosser and Trevor Murdoch, at the very least, will be interesting, because it's something we haven't seen on Power. It's something we haven't seen with Primetime Live, and they both go back to Primetime Live. And then Jack Stain versus Slice Boogie. I mean, that whole gimmick, that whole deal, just had so many unanswered questions, and the fact that they're going to go at it one more time in the ring after we all thought that the feud was over, I think it's just telling of like, okay, we're gonna get something different. You know, I don't think you're gonna see somebody throwing in the towel in that matchup. I don't think you're gonna get Crimson out there throwing a towel into the ring. I think that's, you're gonna get that match to play out the way it should. So I feel like that matchup will be interesting. You know, Kenzie Page and Lady Frost, that should be good. Kenzie Page has a lot of moxie. You know, she's still a little green, but she's every time she's been on camera, she looks like she's starting to get better and better. Lady Frost, I think, is a very accomplished athlete. I feel like she's been playing down her strengths for the NWA, and I, you know, maybe this is the match where she just goes full on and really shows who she is. And then Sky Blue versus Genocide doesn't excite me at all, because we've basically seen this match now at least once as a regular match, and then they teamed up and were opponents for another match in a tag team match, I believe. So it's just, I'm ready to move on past that. But like I said, I really feel like you know, Fred Ross or Trevor Murdoch should be good. Crimson versus the Mystery Man should be good. You know, Mims versus JTG. Mims is still waiting to have that breakout moment in the NWA. I mean, yeah, he scored that victory in the tag team match teaming with Boogie against the War Kings, but this is an opportunity for him to have a breakout moment, something he has yet to do. So the big question mark is, are we going to have some good matches? Yeah, I think we are. Which one am I looking forward to the most? Probably the Mystery Man in Crimson. How about you? Is there one more so than the others that you're looking forward to, DK?
Well, the only one that I'm not interested in is Tyrus and Kratos. And, I mean, look, we all know the reasons why, so I won't get into that. Like you, I'm kind of the one that I sit there and look and go, are the two toss-ups, which is Crimson and Mr. Mystery, which is what I'm going to call him from now on, since apparently we all get to name him whenever we want to. So Crimson and Mr. Mystery, I think, are... There's so much potential, again, for such a really good match between these two. I mean, Mr. Mystery, I've seen him in the ring. He's talented. I mean, he's a pretty good wrestler. I don't have anything against him, but again, it's kind of the way he was brought in and the way it was leading people to think, oh, wow, you know, this is somebody. No, it's not. So now that we know that, let's set it aside and go, hey, he's a good mass wrestler. So I'm really interested in see where that goes. And then I'm kind of interested in Kenzie Page and Lady Frost again as the toss-up, because, you know, don't really know who's going to win that, in that, you know, where it wouldn't be a marked upset. And so those are the type of things that I find interesting when I can sit there and watch something like this. Now, in the overall scheme of things, some matchups I would actually like to see would be Trevor Murdoch versus JTG and Latimer versus Dang. Those are two matchups I'd really like to see and hope they do on this thing. I don't know that's going to happen. In fact, I actually doubt it's going to happen. But, I mean, just as far as matchups, the people involved, that's what I'd like to see.
Yeah. Now, let's go back to the comments section, because I've seen a lot of good questions. One of them was Kikuchi pointed out that Colby Carino is taking on Steve Carino on Colby's birthday. I recently read that today, that Steve Carino, former NWA World Champion Steve Carino, and currently a coach at the Performance Center for WWE NXT, is coming out of retirement for one night to face a stun Colby Carino, and I think that's kind of interesting. I'm interested to see what happens with that. Wrestling with the MMA points out that, unfortunately, with having alternates, it's pretty much saying one of them is going to be used. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I mean, again, this is a champion series. It's not a champion match. So we don't know if these are going to be restructured in the following weeks. I mean, they could, you know, we how many matches do we actually have here? We're, you know, there's 2, 4, 6, 8 matches. But we have a couple of weeks of television. So for them, you know, I saw someone else, I think it was Chris Drummond, said that that Adonis gets a couple of weeks off of TV. I mean, they're still going to have probably non-champion series matches as well. So we'll have to kind of wait and see. Chris Drummond did point out that Mickey James invited Deonna to Empower again. I think that happened on this week's Impact, or later this evening, or currently happening right now. Gibson points out that Ron Gibson points out that Deonna is going to wrestle Invalise at SWE Fury, so he thinks that Deonna should come to Empower. Kikuchi points out that UFC books way better than the NWA. Fortification Intensifies says he thinks that splitting up Crimson and Jack Stain will work out fine. They both have enough in-ring, enough ring and mic skills to be great single wrestlers, especially in the NWA. That kind of hurts my heart, though. Ron says,
Do they split up elsewhere? Because remember, they are wrestling as a team in other promotions.
Yeah.
Where they are being booked Road Warrior style.
Ron says he's the kind of guy that never reads the instructions to a video game, so just start playing. Same with wrestling. I don't care what the rules are. I'll just enjoy the matches if they're good. That's a good point. See, I'm trying to skip to it because we're running out of time here. Kikuchi asked, did Cade and Murdoch ever take on the primetime players? And I don't think so. I think that was two different eras. And then Chris said, what do you do with Adonis? Hopefully he gets a match or two in the non-champion series. Ron Gibson's going to call the mystery man Misty Mystery. And then Kikuchi says, you should name the mystery man Mr. E. I like that, actually. But we're running out of time, guys. We're running out of time, and I wish we could talk more about it, but we'll have more to talk about next week. Same time, same channel, same place. And we could talk about the Champion Series and see how this goes, how it's going to all pan out. And we hope you'll be here with us. If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to financially contribute, you could go to our merch store at alliance-wrestling.com and get cool hats like this, or t-shirts that are adorned with a similar logo. And they make you so much more handsome and beautiful that I highly recommend them. Secondly, you could follow DKM on social media at twitter.com/... DKMF, wait, it's Fort Worth, Texas, FWTX.
Very good.
Yeah. You can follow me at the Alliance blog. Kevin, real quick, type in the chat where they can find you on social media. And while we're waiting for that, again, I want to say thank you guys for being a part of the show with us every week. This is the highlight of our week. I know Kevin was sad that his voice failed him. He would not be able to come on tonight. But he was very excited to be a part of the show. I know he was in the live chat and had some internet issues. But again, this is fun for us, guys. We enjoy talking the NWA. We enjoy that you guys are here with us. Hopefully, Kevin will be at full speed next week. I'll be here next week. DKM will be here next week. There will not be a pre-party next week. So if you're going to look forward to joining us on Tuesday before the Champion Series, unfortunately, I will be out of town. And I won't be a part of it. Kikuchi says, wait, Jay, you get worse. Oh, man, I get so much worse. You should listen to the first podcast. I used to have a co-host named Jaden that would come on my podcast with me. God, those were the drizzling shits. Just the absolute worst.
You know, Jaden, I killed the first podcast.
You guys did, too.
Who were we interviewing? We were interviewing somebody, and it went to hell in a handbasket.
Was that Houston? And, was that Houston Carson?
No. It was the guy that, like, won the national title from Damian Lane and held it for like a month before losing it back.
Was it Vordell Walker?
Yeah. Right, because he was like after he won the title, he shit on the NWA. And then was surprised that they took the title off. Was mad. Gee, dude, really? Yes, that was the interview, and it did not go well. I mean, not that we had a problem with him, but just the overall thing.
Was that about the time where the Sheik and Craig Classic left the NWA? Because I know he was tight with both of those guys, so I wonder if that had to, that played into any of that.
No, that was after the fact, because this was under the Tharp regime.
Okay.
And we were all big Vernon Walker fans, and he was supposed to hold the national title for a while, and that didn't work. And he had like one of his people call in, so the two of them just crapped even more on the NWA after that, and it was just like, so Jade and I killed that show. We put a bullet in it.
I miss that guy, Jade. If you see him again, if you talk to him again, tell him that Jay Cal said hi.
I heard that Dr. C kicked him out and replaced him with somebody, so he might be wandering the streets of New Jersey, which, you know, let's be honest, that's New Jersey.
Well, there's worse things, but not much. Anyways, That's going to do it for us, guys. I got to get out of here. I'm going to go jump in an RV with my family and drive to New Mexico. So I won't be here next week, but we'll be back here on Thursday for the podcast for the Alliance, guys. So again, thanks everyone for being a part of us, dealing with us, enjoying us, laughing when I say drizzling shits, because that word's just funny to me anyways. But that's going to do it for this week, guys. Until next time, we're going to see you at the matches.
And now, our feature presentation. One, two,
three. The best in the world is right here, right now.
Whether you like it or don't like it, pal, learn to love it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome. All right, listen up.
Now it's our time to step forward. It's time to bring the NWA back into the spotlight.
I was thinking that it might be a good idea if you and I formed an alliance.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Attention, everyone! Welcome to the greatest wrestling program in the world!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen!
It's the Alliance Guys podcast with your hosts Kevin Frazier, DKM, and J-Cap.